opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
And good morning and welcome to the morning edition of KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. Your talk radio, Carl and Linda Bott. Carl is on assignment this morning, and usually on our Thursday, you know, it's Trish and Carl. Carl's on assignment. I thought Trish was going to be here. Either she's on her way or there was a phone call that she wasn't going to be here today. So, yours truly, Linda Bott, is here. And Sue McLean is joining me. Good morning.
Good morning. So exciting. Two days in a row.
I know. Oh, did you do this yesterday too?
Just 45 minutes. And I had so much fun though. It was great because, you know, Robert Burke was here to talk about the movies.
Okay. Excellent.
So
all
that
right.
Was great.
Well, thanks so much for that because, you know, it's very important. So much to talk about this morning, but, let's talk about the weather because for those of you who are joining and you put your alarms on and start with us in the morning, we do have a red flag warning. Sue's going to get more into that, but today we're going to have a sunny and breezy day. Looks like our winds are going to be up to 15 to 22 miles with gusts up to 32 and a partly cloudy tonight with 63. Tomorrow calls for a sunny, clear sky 94 day with a Friday night overnight lows 62. This weekend, if you're looking like, garage sale, picnic, what? Sunny, 94. Sunday, 87. We look like we have clear skies and beautiful nights. Weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. You know, they're located in Anderson. The Kenny family talk about people who are boots on the ground doing wonderful things for our community. That's Shasta Gas Propane. Now, Sue, you have an update with fires.
I do. Now, there is a red flag warning in effect. This is a high fire danger. The good news is the Zog Fire 100% contained, and they did set up an assistance program where you can go in and sign up if you need help at the fairgrounds in Anderson. So be sure to stop by Fasaro Hall if you were affected by the Zog Fire. Lots of information on hand. Also, we do have an update. The August complex has burned 1,029,605 acres. The good news is it is 76% contained. Now, this, once again, was in the Mendocino, Humboldt, moved into the Trinity area, Tehama, Glen Lake, and Colusa counties. So containment 76%. And we did have a couple of newer fires, the Bruder Fire, but these are in Southern California. So that's if you are traveling. Once again, you can expect possible delays near San Bernardino this morning. And we do have the SQF complex at 167,479 acres, 70% contained. But once again, the good news is those fires are under control and they're gaining containment at this point. Now, if you are planning on traveling, we did have a fire reported off 44 this morning. It has been removed from the California Highway Patrol website, so apparently that must be contained at this point. That's what I'm thinking. And we do have a couple of incidents, including at I-5 South at the Fennell Avenue off-ramp. This is near Red Bluff. If you're traveling near the Trinity River, State Route 36 still closed. There's a hard closure in that area, so once again, just be aware.
Well, thank you. It's always nice to see you on top of it. Let's do a walk back in history. I've got about three or four things I want to talk about this morning.
Okay, let's hear it.
But let's talk a little bit in history about when Carl and I came here to when you were doing KLXR in this very place that we are.
Right.
In this space.
I haven't thought about that for a while.
With Jimbo.
Mm-hmm.
How many years did you do that?
14.
14 years. And Carl and I were across town and corporate came in. We just love old corporate. Came in and loved us on a Friday and let us go on a Monday. And we were like, not going to do that to us. And, you know, again, heard that Mike Quinn had this little piece of paper that's called an FCC license. It was dark, but it was functional. You know, it was paid up. So we started in the little studio, glass studio next to you. You know, which was filled with papers to the brim, and had him clear it up, bought the FCC license, figured out a business deal, and, you know, had our banking and support, and that was going to, December 14th will be 11 years.
That is incredible. And, you know, I was just thinking, what made you take that leap of faith? Because, well, you know, you're a natural born entertainer.
No, it's called being ticked off. And Carl and I decided, no, we were just, you're not gonna crunch numbers. We're not gonna be in your fallout of your numbers because we're worthy. That's how we felt. We're worthy, and we're going to put our money where our mouth is. And there's been some really hard, just like what we're going through now. It makes me feel so sad in a certain sense. But, you know, I want to celebrate what it is when you have a good, you know, when KLXR closed, we said, please come on over to be with us. And so we expanded. Now we have the whole space. You do the morning news. You do so much more than that behind the scenes that people don't know about. The production. The, you know, we put you now with sales. You're dealing with the, you know, so many things that you are so good at. And, it's wonderful when you know that you have your people around you that are doing the work with respect.
Thank you.
So I just want you to know that.
That is wonderful. Yeah, well, yeah. I think it's great. 11 years.
11 years. And December 14th is when we hit the air. But it would have been this time incredible. Of year we were starting to, you know, go to banks and like, how are we going to do? What are we, you know, everything's on the line when you do stuff like that. So my heart really, it goes out to the local business owners. I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but getting on the, you know, looking around today, according to yesterday's, news, Shasta County Public Health confirmed that Shasta County is heading for the purple tier next week.
Right. And a lot of people aren't aware of exactly what the purple tier means. And that means, like the shutdown we had a while ago, the gyms will close. They've already closed down the bars. There's also other local businesses that we're going to see. And do you have a list?
I have a list right here.
Here we go.
Okay, so we are in red right now, but purple means hair salons open indoors with modifications.
Oh, so they can be open.
Well, with modifications. So, like yesterday, I had my hair done, and, of course, I was masked. She was masked, of course. And they did take down the partitions in between clients. Those will probably go back up. Of course, the plexiglass is still there. So I don't know what those modifications are. I did witness after each person got out of the shampoo bowl, they cleaned it down.
Okay.
So I was watching their practices, not like I was going to tattletale, but I was impressed because they are really strict about their, what do you want to call it when you disinfect or whatever? Okay. So hair salons, retail, will be open at 25% capacity. In other words, for instance, if you're going into Home Goods, if you're going into Dandelion, or they can only let a certain amount of people in the door.
So expect to have long lines.
Long lines.
And long waits.
Mm-hmm. Malls open indoors at 25% capacity and food courts close.
Oh my goodness.
Nail salons open indoors with modifications. Electrolysis, if physician ordered, open indoors with modifications, otherwise closed. Personal care services, body waxing. I can just see that. Yeah, we're waxing your legs outdoors only. So you can drive by too and see.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. That'll look like Sasquatch by the time. Yeah. I don't know if I really want people to be looking out.
Heck no. That's
seeing me scream.
You better learn how to do your own inside. Tattooing and piercing is closed. Think about all the tattoo parlors in town.
So many.
Parlor. It's a tattoo parlor.
And talented artists.
Oh, yeah. They're really close. Museums, zoos, and aquariums, outdoor only. Now, how do you do an aquarium?
When they, up at Shasta Lake, when they, you know, where you walk through and up there.
The dam.
Yes. And, it really surprises me, you know, the shutdown. Just like, you're outside. I mean, what?
And that Shasta Dam tour, I've taken it.
Shasta Caverns.
Oh, yeah.
When they made it an indoor museum,
yes.
When it's been a landmark, you know, a natural landmark, that is ridiculous. That needs to change.
Places of worship, outdoor only. Movie theaters, outdoor only. Hotels open with modifications. Gyms, outdoor only. Restaurants, outdoor only. Wineries, outdoor only. Bars and breweries, closed.
Ugh.
Family entertainment centers, outdoor only, like mini golf, batting cages, and go-kart racing. Card rooms, outdoor only. non-essential offices, remote work only. Professional sports, no live audiences. Schools must stay closed. You know, I'm just curious because you have children or young adults, and your daughter has been back and forth from Chico, right?
Yes.
We got to take a break. Oh my God.
Yeah, okay. We'll talk about this then.
Yeah, okay. Let's come back and let's talk about like what the experience has been like for you with your daughter in and out of Chico. And, we'd love to take your calls here. It's, Linda Bott and Sue McClain sitting in for Carl and Trish. We'll be right back here at KCNR.
Let's see. Coffee, got it. Radio, dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Are you tired of corporate-bought Sacramento politicians who don't have any idea what we need in the North State? So am I. That's why I'm running to be our state senator. My name is Pamela Swartz, and I'm your neighbor, not a politician. We've got wildfires burning down our towns and internet connections that don't exist or barely work. And we're stuck with self-serving career politicians. This has to stop. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz, for State Senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for State Senate. ID number 142-3306.
Medicare open enrollment is October 15th through December 7th. Help keep your drug costs low by reviewing your plan for the following year. Remember, Medicare plans can change each year. PSA 2, Health Insurance Counseling Advocacy Program, HICAP services are free and include individual counseling and assistance, as well as community education services. PSA 2, HICAP services does not sell, endorse, or recommend any specific insurance product. PSA 2, HICAP is your trusted source for Medicare information. Call PSA 2, HICAP services for more information. 530-223-09. Or 1-800-434-0222. That's 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222.
This project was supported in part by grant number 90S APG 009-40100 from the U.S. Administration for Community Living, Department of Health and Human Services, Washington, D.C. 20201. Grantees undertaking projects under government sponsorship are encouraged to express freely their findings and conclusions. Points of view or opinions do not, therefore, necessarily represent official Administration for Community Living policy.
Did you know that every day in the state of California, 10,000 people turn 65 years old? Yep, 10,000 every day. And the resources needed to allow you or your senior parents to be happy and healthy during these special years can be complicated at best. So where do you begin to find the local resources you may need? ReadingSeniorSource.com. This is an online senior resource directory which will connect you with everything from Medicare supplemental insurance assistance, senior transportation, estate planning attorneys, home care agencies, assisted living communities, and hundreds more. This directory has been a labor of love created by me, Mary Ann Seifert, owner of Mary Ann Senior Placement Services. I have over two decades of experience assisting seniors in our community and saw a need for resources to be accessible by everyone. Just go to ReadingSeniorSource.com. That's ReadingSeniorSource.com.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Tune into North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
perfect segue. It's I Love Lucy Day, and I am doing a show with a redhead.
And a comedy writer. Why? Because I grew up with I Love Lucy.
Really?
Absolutely. Lucille Ball, she was my favorite. My favorite one of all of those was the chocolate episode.
Oh, yeah.
And she was eating as much as she could, and she couldn't keep up. Oh, my gosh. That is like the – I just love it.
I think it probably will go down in history. And by the way, welcome to the show this morning. Carl's on assignment. Trish is probably traveling someplace in her RV. And welcome to our morning edition. We will have the district attorney on at 8 o'clock, and we're going to be covering a lot of things this morning. Sue McClain and myself. Hey, and by the way, so please do call in if you've got something to talk about. And Nick, you are live. What's on your mind?
Well, I just heard about all the businesses that are shut down here in Shasta County, and I'd like to encourage everybody to open up and go to work and tell the state to go jump in the lake. And I'd also like to encourage them to go to the next supervisors meeting and probably the city council meeting, too, and raise holy heck with them and tell them to start representing us, that we're not ready to shut our economy down and bankrupt us any more than we're already bankrupted. They need to step up to the plate and represent the citizens, not tell us what to do.
You know,
that's what's on my mind, little sister.
That is great. You know, here's my take on that, is that if we can keep those big box stores open through this whole COVID, why couldn't the small businesses stay open when they have less people going through those front doors, less likely chance to transfer anything? And I never really understood that. And especially when no cases have been reported from, like, restaurants or bars. Has anybody even heard of that? I haven't heard of any cases being transferred locally.
In my opinion, it's them just telling us what we can do and what we can't do instead of informing us of the situation and letting us make up our own mind. Our country wasn't built by people telling us what to do. Our country was built by free thinkers, and we can still be free thinkers, but we need to be given the opportunity to think for ourselves.
Thank you, Nick.
You're welcome.
I like,
have a great day.
You too.
You too. Thanks, Nick.
And it's really important. I think so many people, Sue, you know, it's really with every breath I take, and I'm sure when I think about all the business owners across the North State and throughout California, of what it is to keep your sanity moment by moment is just trying to get through these times. You know, to mask, not to mask, when you mask, how you mask. It really has got it's kind of got an effect with people on their nerves. What are you experiencing? Your daughter, college.
Right. You know, the problem, just one of the many problems is that, you know, when you have kids in school, it's been the on again, off again. You're home, you're in school. My daughter wasn't allowed to go back to class, so she has to do all of her classes online. This is at Chico State. They allowed some classes to resume, others not. She's studying geography. They're not meeting, and they can do all their work outside.
Really?
So, you know, I don't quite understand how they can decide, you know, who can go to class and who can't.
Geography online.
All those classes are online.
When you want to touch the rocks.
When you want to get outside,
yeah,
and you want to experience. And so there's so many, you know, rules and regulations now that they've regulated us to death. And to have, you know, your child to see that struggle because, you know, she's so young, being, you know, 20, almost 21, that, she's going to school. The reason why she went there was to be more social. She had gone to Sarah Lawrence in New York, Sarah Lawrence College, and she decided she wanted to come back in California. And I, you know, sure. That's great. You're closer to home.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, when I thought, hey, this is great. She'll be able to be social. She'll make a lot of friends. This is great because when she was there, it was very difficult to, you know, make a lot of friends except for on the team that she played on. And I thought this would expand her social circle. But instead, she's become an even more isolated,
right,
down in Chico because everything's online. And trying to work and go to school and for me, you can just see how wearing it is on her. And
she's still, how old is she?
20.
So, you know, as we're looking through what's the word I'm trying to find here? Discoveries, studies that she, that at 20, you're still developing. Your brain is still developing. You're developing as a person. So this back and forth and back and forth, it's hard enough as for an adult to do that, let alone and she's still developing. So there's this, a lot of fear that can happen to people, like that in kind of envelops or can encrust ones who maybe don't have kind of a, let's go, you know, slay the world mentality.
Right. And now these kids that could have been extroverts are now introverts. Now these kids that, you know, would have gone to that next step in, let's say, communication
right.
or sports or whatever. Now, thank goodness, sports are going to happen here in Shasta County. Thank God that's going to happen. But all those kids that looked forward, you know, they need that. They need to have people in their lives. And this just isolates them.
Well, I'm really curious because when we just read the purple, it said professional sports, no live audiences.
Yeah, but this is local high school, so who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, how long it will last or, you know. But for these kids, you know, you think seniors in high school, how they're being affected. And we had Robert Burke yesterday, and you can see,
yes,
you know, that it is taking a toll.
It is.
He is a good young man. He is smart. He talks about the movies.
Yes.
But there's also, you know, you just see, like, this is my senior year.
Yes.
And I have to stay home.
Yes.
And you know, try to date in
yes.
the era of COVID, you know.
For all ages.
Yeah. It's just, you know, the communication, it's all online. It's all Zoom. So, or, you know, however people meet
right.
these days. I believe now, though, that's really the big thing.
Well, we've had a spike here in the Shasta County, and so when you look at the outbreak of cases, I was just someplace yesterday. I'm not going to mention any names or what, you know, and I went to drop off and thank somebody for something, and somebody had said that they were at a funeral. Well, this person's father-in-law was one of the people in the senior facility or aftercare facility that had the breakout of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So, was there, you know, that passed away from COVID. So, we've had a spike because of that and a spike because of, religious or otherwise large gatherings. And in those things spiked. And so what happens is you look at the numbers and somebody says, okay, if you're going to have these many numbers, that kind of a spike, then we're going to just up the ante and change it. I mean, it comes down to that. That's what that, you know, it's not like they have it out for us. It's just the numbers.
It is a numbers game. But, you know, what's worse? Is it the illness or is it the shutdown? How many businesses are we going to sacrifice? How many lives? How many people are committing suicide right now? We don't even have the figures. We have people that can't even get out of their houses to go shopping. And those people say they're isolated in their homes. We don't even know they're gone.
Right.
Because we're too afraid to come out of their,
right.
their shelter. And so, you know, we've got all these, you know, what is it? The solution, the disease. And, you know, we can't put a price tag on a person's life. We can't.
No, we cannot.
But we can also, if masks and all these other things that we're supposed to be doing are working,
right.
why are there over 7 million cases? Is it because people aren't wearing the masks, or is it because of the community that everybody's living together and they're just getting it and spreading it? And, you know, we can't, I don't know, can we look past all that and say, okay, now what's the future after COVID?
How do we know?
We've got to look forward.
We can't make a plan. And that's the very point that I think a lot of people, like, say, for instance, my girlfriend who owns the restaurant. Let's talk about Country Kitchen. We advertise for her. We love her. She's my oldest friend in Reading. Just believe in what she does so much. And then in dining. And then boom. For a whole month. Then, boom, it was taken away. Then it was like, okay. So then that went for a month. So then she had to give, second time, where am I going to give my food to? Who I can't give it to the mission. I have to give it to, so I think she ended up like the her meats or cheeses, all that stuff that you can't freeze. You know, it has to be taken, you know, the avocados, all the stuff that you make when you make sandwiches and fresh breakfast stuff. So then that was the second time. Then now it's the third, maybe this is the fourth, I can't remember at this point. I'm losing count, but now, again, to have to close. Only, she can't do outside dining up there at Country Kitchen. There's a sidewalk, and maybe she could do six tables. You can't open a restaurant, bring in a chef. You know, it just doesn't pencil out.
Right. So, you know, a lot of these businesses will go away and not come back.
Well, I hope she'll hang in there, but it's just frustrating. So if she does take out, we really need to think about that now where we're doing this purple. How long is this going to last? We do have to take a break. I'm here with Sue McClain. This is Linda Bott. This portion of the show has been brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals, recognized by Watson Health and is fully accredited chest pain center. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We got more. If you've got calls, you want to come and call in this morning. It's Sue and Linda until 8 o'clock where we have the DA. We'll be right back.
Get your morning update with us.
Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Recently, my very good friend, Reverge Anselmo, donated a very large amount of money to my campaign. In fact, history-making. Anselmo came to this county a few years ago with one thing in mind, to spare no expense and build the finest restaurant and winery. But after the county resource manager consistently harassed him, embarrassed him, and overregulated him to the point he left this county never to return. I can't do anything for Mr. Anselmo now, but I vow to stop this type of corruption from happening to others. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and yes, I'll spend every penny of that donation, paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 4.
You'll win, especially on your birthday. Watch for your free play coupon in the mail. Didn't get your birthday gift? Come on in to Wind River Resort and Casino on your birthday and collect your free play. Or if you have birthday coupons from other casinos, bring them in and we'll match up to $100 in free play. To sweeten the deal, you'll also receive triple points on your special day. Only one birthday gift or free play redeemed per year. Slot play limited to $100. Details at windriver.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Vote safe, vote early. In Shasta County, all active registered voters will receive a ballot in the mail. Voters in Shasta County have multiple safe ways to cast a ballot by Election Day on November 3rd. How to return your ballot is your choice. Starting October 5th, you can vote early in person, by mail, or by drop box. Remember, it is your vote, your choice. For more information, call the Elections Department at 225-5730 or go to ShastaVotes.org for safe voting options.
And Sue McClain is here with me this morning. Hi, Sue.
Good morning. Hey, you're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM online and AM 1460. I'm filling in this morning. Carl's on assignment.
And Trish is on assignment somewhere.
And did you sing that song? Have you sung that song before, that Oh, What a Night?
No.
Oh, just because I can imagine. Now, you've performed literally all over the world. You performed with Dean Martin. You were a gold digger dancer. And like when I hear music like this, back in the day, and then I hear, stuff, from the greats, of course, the standards.
Right.
And, but you performed with like so many people, that aren't familiar with Linda Bott, except for the show, because it's different because you still perform.
And right now,
just because of COVID.
Lots of cancellations.
Right.
But,
just because of COVID. But right. you still continue to perform.
Thank you for that. And by the way, if you're tuning in, like we said, Carl and Trish are Thursday mornings. And Trish travels a lot. So she's probably somewhere, and we didn't remember, she's off somewhere in her RV doing something exotic looking for dinosaur bones in Arizona.
That sounds like Trish.
Yeah. And so thank you, Sue McClain, for being here. We're going to cover a bunch of headlines and stuff, but I wanted to talk with you about Facebook.
Oh,
and I wanted to and yesterday I got a beautiful, there was a post from and I'm going to say who it is, Candace Lavolsi, who many of us know was our North State beautiful harpist. I don't know. I think she plays the harp. Mm-hmm. Anyway, for North State Symphony, and then she'd also play in one of the symphonies in Alaska, and now she's moved to San Diego, and she's a teacher, and she plays, and she played at our wedding. Anyway, so she is phenomenal, and she posted something yesterday about filing her music, realizing that certain movement of what she was going to be playing in one of the scheduled performances won't be happening, and up until 2021, which they've canceled the opera season. New York Mets canceled 2021. So then another girlfriend of mine who's a singer and also does a jazz camp that is in another state of California, talking about a litany of who is affected. It's not just the entertainers. It's the techs. It's the people who manage. It's it just goes down this huge list. And when you think about the entertainment industry as an industry, how many people, I don't know how you survive, how you come back after millions and millions, billions of dollars are being lost right now through this. And not just in New York, we think of New York or we think of Las Vegas, but and cruise ships. Anyway, so Facebook, I told Carl yesterday I was feeling very blue about getting on Facebook and just kind of wanting to see, how friends are. This is why I've been really keeping it light, like talking about, looking at the animals, looking at like maybe families or birthdays. That kind of thing is what I do. But when I somehow get caught on a post that's a friend or somebody who I've kind of been associated maybe through music or maybe through some kind of, a lighthearted thing, and then see these nasty, nasty, vengeful posts.
The political, I assume that's what you're talking about.
That surprises me that some of these people come out with these vile posts. I told Carl I really feel like I just want to, delete all my Facebook completely and just not go back because – many of you know, but I didn't really go social with it, but I was very ill for 4 months. I almost died. And so on the outside, I look different, the same, but in the inside, I'm very different. And I don't have time for people's crazy negativity.
Right. Now, and you didn't have COVID.
No, I didn't have COVID. No, I was in the hospital during COVID.
Right. And, you know.
And so when you're in the hospital with COVID, during COVID, for those people, in the, you can't have anybody around. So there's nobody there to wash your hair or hold your hand. I mean, you got the nurses, but I don't know the nurses from Jack. So what I'm saying is that I just don't have time for the negativity, and it makes me so sad to see you can't even sit down with a friend. There's a deep feeling of sitting down with friends who may be on the other side. So what? Why does it have to get so, like, vile?
For me, what you believe is your belief, and I let people, you know, express themselves. And I feel exactly the same. There's so much hate on there for what's happening and in the political realm that, you know, I look forward to the election to see the outcome, but I'm also worried about what the outcome will be.
Right.
Because what the fallout will be from the election. Because of all this year has just been so disturbing, you know, in general. You just think, well, it just can't get any worse. You can't even say that anymore.
Right.
You know, and to see what some people post has really surprised me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I won't unfriend anybody because of their political views. But, you know, some of the stuff just I start, you know, blocking their posts just because I don't want to see that.
Carl calls it snoozing, but I don't know if I have the energy to snooze it. Maybe what I'll just do is just not go on Facebook and make it, because, you know, when you go through experience, and you've been through this too, like maybe after you've had some surgery or you've done whatever you need to do, I found that I couldn't even talk to people. I didn't want to, it wasn't about political, it's just I didn't have the energy to even talk to people, you know. So it just little by little, it's like ingesting different kind of food back into your system. I'm not sure if Facebook is a positive thing for me right now. So I'm just asking how you feel about it. And how about our listeners? Do you get a jolt go through your system once a day? If you go on Facebook thinking that you want to look at somebody's happy birthday pictures and you scroll down and you see these things, do you just get disgusted?
Yeah. Feel a little sick.
Yeah,
when I read some of this stuff.
I
mean, there's some posts, honestly, I agree with. Some things that people say, I'm like, yep, you know what, I'm on board with that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could say, and with what's going on with, you know, the protests that the larger media is saying, they're protests. No, they're riots. If you're burning down the city, you're looting the businesses, you're allowing that to continue without, you know, when the president is saying, hey, I will bring my troops in, we'll restore, you know,
right
at your city and whatever's going on, and they don't allow you in, and then they blame, you know, somebody else for what's going on in their city. And it's like, come on, there are riots. They're burning things down. And then you see the next day after all this, and then people are standing out on the street going, what am I supposed to do now? Well, you shouldn't have allowed them to, you should have been out there burning down your town. You know, so now you've got
it in the bud.
Next town over.
Should have nipped it in the bud. Okay, let's talk really quickly about Harris cancels trip because staffer has COVID. Senator Kamala Harris, the Democratic vice presidential nominee, canceled campaign trips to key battleground states through Sunday after two people associated with the campaign tested positive for COVID.
Well, doesn't surprise me that there are people on staff for these political figures that are testing positive. And if our president had it, you know, more people may have it. We just don't know.
Right.
And they haven't been reporting those yet. But I just found it unusual how he was positive and the people that were handling the equipment that were setting up for him.
Right.
I guess there were 11 people that tested positive that were handling, you know, the mics and things like that. But no one from the other side was handling.
Right.
You know, that's like, really?
Only the Democrats can touch this mic and only the Republicans can touch this mic.
I haven't heard, you know, if that was specifically said, but it makes you kind of wonder. And now, you know, I think it's becoming even more real for them now that their campaigns are being affected by it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we will see, you know, what's going to happen these next couple of weeks because people are saying, you know, yeah, you're going to the polls, you're voting for the president, but are you really voting for the president or are you voting for the vice president? You know, right. You've got to really look at this.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What if something does happen?
Roberta, you are live. Quick question.
Oh,
comment.
Good morning. No, good morning. Not a question, a comment. You know, when it comes to Facebook, there are so many beautiful things posted on Facebook. And I just ignore the things that are there that are not interesting to me. And I don't take on the negativity. I focus on the positive. I love the verses that people send.
Yes, that's true.
The pictures that people send. And it's a shame to let all of that go. If you want to enjoy Facebook again, just ignore the negative and just take in all of the positive, because we need that positive so much in our lives today.
Well, that's true. You know, and thank you for your wise counsel. And, you know, I guess I needed to have that, the wise counsel of Roberta just whispering in my ear and tapping on my shoulder about just get over it. Don't go into the deep zone. Don't go into the dark zone, Linda. Stay in the light. Stay in the light.
You know, and there are all kinds of things, you know, you can sign up for on Facebook, like Power of Positivity and Intelligence is Sexy. And even today, I love this one. It said, weak people revenge, strong people forgive, intelligent people ignore.
Okay. All right. I'm sold. I'm sold. See, that? See, that's why we have our, we love our women friends. You know? Thank
well,
you.
I'll tell you, I have not been able to see my wonderful grandsons for 8 months now.
Aww.
And if I didn't have Facebook with the videos of their music and things that my daughter sends me, I don't know what I would do.
Wow. Well, thank you for the call, Roberta. We're going to take
Roberta.
A break. Wonderful. Good to hear your voice.
All right.
Hey,
bye.
Maxwell
bye.
Insurance,
bye.
Speaking of somebody who's super, super powerfully positive, and that's Judy Maxwell. I'll tell you what. All insurance and financial needs under one roof. That's Maxwell Insurance. That's who we recommend to go to for all your insurance needs. Located on Hilltop Drive. We're going to take a break here. It's Linda Bott and Sue McClain sitting in for Carl and Trish. We'll be right back.
Turtle Bay has new exhibits ready to be explored. See stunning benches of all shapes and sizes and bench press, please be seated, please. And then head over to Expedition Earth on a journey through the world's biomes filled with interactive science activities. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
I am Steve Morgan, and I am running for re-election to the Board of Supervisors to represent the citizens of District 4 and Shasta County. My record of trust, integrity, commitment, and proven leadership is a foundation of my service. With my leadership, we have maintained a balanced budget. I will continue to work hard and advocate for Shasta County taxpayers, businesses, and public safety. I am committed to expanding economic prosperity to create and keep jobs. I believe law enforcement agencies and first responders are paramount for our county. As a Vietnam veteran, I am committed to supporting our military and veterans. My conservative approach to budgeting, support for industry and business, and commitment to a safe and healthy community earned me endorsements from the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce, District Attorney Stephanie Bridget, Reading Firefighters, Sheriff Eric Magrini, former Sheriff Tom Basinko, and Sheriff Pope, Operating Engineers Local 3, Sierra Pacific Industries, and many local leaders and business owners. I'd be honored to receive your vote. Paid for by the committee to re-elect Steve Morgan for Supervisor 2020.
Reading Rancheria. We are proud to play our part in the community. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO of Reading Rancheria. Since the Community Fund was established, over $3.5 million in grants have been awarded to our local nonprofit organizations. We are dedicated to supporting worthy causes in our region and help make possible the impactful work done by our local nonprofits, and will continue to do so during these changing times. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020. Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, Mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
When I see our current representatives taking money from special interests, I'm not shocked. When they get nothing done for us, I'm not surprised, because they're taking care of their donors. I'm Pamela Swart, and I'm running for California State Senate. I grew up in Reading. I'm a small business owner living right here in the North State. I don't take money from corporations. I'm running to represent us, not big money. On November 3rd, vote for me, Pamela Swart, for State Senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swart for State Senate. ID number 142-3306.
Turtle Bay has new exhibits ready to be explored. See stunning benches of all shapes and sizes in Bench Press, Please Be Seated, Please. And then head over to Expedition Earth on a journey through the world's biomes filled with interactive science activities. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
I was born in the wagon of a traveling show. My mama had to dance for the money.
I used to come home in 1972. 73, like, it was religious for the Sonny and Cher show. I was like a freak for Cher. Anyway, welcome back to the show. I mean, memory lane. Welcome to our morning show here. This is Linda Bott sitting in for Carl and Trish on this Thursday with my good friend Sue McClain. She's so good at what she does. Thanks for sticking around. You're great.
I am so happy to be here. Good morning, Linda.
Thank you. We have the DA coming on at 8 o'clock, but a couple things I wanted to cover. First of all, a shout-out to one of our sponsors, Jeff over at Crackmaster. Yes, it's going to be winter soon. We go from the heat to the cold. This is when your cracks and your chips expand and get worse. So, you know, if you're going to be driving anywhere during the holidays, you really need to get in to see Jeff and get those things fixed. Jeff at Crackmaster, located there on, South Market.
Right. Okay. And, you know, if you're driving around town, there's lots of construction, so look out for detours. And there's lots of those itty-bitty rocks on the roadways that snap up, you know, from tires.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, just that teeny tiny little nick, you're thinking, oh, it's nothing. And the next day, there's this huge, you know, line across your windshield. So
exactly.
Get that fixed.
Thank you. Okay, I really want to bring this up. Swirling around within the Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett's confirmation hearing was discussion and criticism of her Catholic faith. But this isn't the first time her faith was placed front and center during a confirmation process. In 2017, when the Notre Dame law professor was nominated to her current position as judge on the Seventh Circuit's Court of Appeals, California Senator Dianne Feinstein notoriously attempted to undermine Barrett's legitimacy to serve precisely because she was Roman Catholic, or, as Feinstein memorably put her objection, the dogma lives loudly within you, and that's of concern. When it was later suggested to Feinstein that her remarks were anti-Catholic and unconstitutional, i.e. that she was imposing a religious test for fitness to serve and declaring faithful Catholics especially unfit, she balked and pointed to the fact that she went to Catholic schools and has Catholic friends. This sort of hackneyed defense is common for many forms of bigotry did not dissuade her. She unapologetically insisted that Barrett's writings informed by her faith were an obstacle to serve her country, and that it was her duty to ask tough questions about it. Now, you're Catholic.
Yes. Yeah, I grew up Catholic, went to a St. Joseph school.
Yes.
Was going to be a nun at one time.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. Last time I checked, freedom of religion was a thing, and it's still a thing today. And for them to use that when someone, you know, has been able to perform their job before applying or, you know, vying for this position. And if my question would be, if she were Muslim, would they be asking those same type of things? Would, you know, why are you putting her in that hot seat when, you know, there's...
Or Mormon. Or,
yes, whatever it might be. You know, Jewish, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Will they be asking the same line of questioning? And it makes me wonder, you know, really? Because, you know, that to me, when I heard some of those questions, I laughed out loud. I went, are you serious? You know, that's the best you can do? And, you know, this is, it's... Right now, it's such a hot topic, but I think, you know, that line of questioning, whether or not, you know, we all have our own personal opinions about things, but I would think that when you get to that type of position that you're applying for, you have to be able to discern and make that decision, not just on that personal belief, on your personal belief as far as religion, because we all have some type of base we grew up with, but I think that... you know, when it comes to play, I think, you know, you have to be that in that position, a consummate professional, and make decisions based on, you know, what you think is right as well. You can't just say, oh, well, that's, I don't know. When I think of those questions and that line of questioning, it really does make me angry.
Well, there's an opinion piece in one of the news publications that I peruse in the morning. And one of them, the headlines, like Amy Coney Barrett, I'm a professional woman criticized for my big Catholic family. And under there, our culture tells women and girls from a very young age that patriarchal religion and fertility will only hold them back in life.
Oh, wow. I come from a large family of nine. So, and Catholic. Growing up. But I think I were the one sitting in that hot seat, I would say I would be along the same lines. It's just, you know what, I'm here because I want to serve, and I will do the best of my ability, just like the rest that are sitting up there.
Right. I don't know. It, you know, I think that some of my friends that I've talked to are worried about the Roe versus Wade, that is going to be overturned. And I said to them, that's not going to happen. I just don't believe that would happen. I think the law is the law. Every law can be tweaked, but it's not going to be, you know, I don't think that would be overturned. I think that's a lot of people's fear, is that somebody who's pro-life would then go, I don't know. So that's the situation. Okay, I wanted to talk with you about two. I love this because it's one of my favorite. I'm looking to this. Okay. 100 years ago today, Mario Puzo was born in the Hell's Kitchen neighborhood of New York City to a poor family from Italy. He served in the U.S. Army forces in Germany in World War II and later graduated from City College of New York. After the war, he wrote his first book, The Dark Arena, which was published in 1955. At age 49, his novel, The Godfather, was published and became a number one bestseller. He later co-adapted this story into a three-part film saga with Francis Ford Coppola and received an Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay for both the first and second movies. Puzo also wrote the original screenplay for the 1978 Superman film. He still was writing as a published author in the 1990s. He died in 1999. Anyway, The Godfather is truly one of my top five. If I think of that Sound of Music, Godfather, what are your top five?
Oh, my goodness.
Put you on the spot.
I knew you were going to ask me that. Albino Alligator, number one. It's a suspense film. It's,
I need to write that down.
You need to write it down. It's a really good, really good film.
Okay.
you know, the rest of them are kind of corny. I mean, I still like the Die Hard series.
I love it.
Just because it's a fun, you know, it's whenever I get sick or it's the holidays,
yeah.
I love watching
this film. And it's a Christmas show.
But as far as, like, overall, I have to say the Lord of the Rings series.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I like the Lord of the Rings. A big fan of The Hobbit, too. Not as much like the Lord of the Rings, but just the whole series, you know, the trilogy. And, those are my top.
All right.
I just love it.
I think that's great. Again, so today's I Love Lucy. On this day in 1951, the television sitcom I Love Lucy premiered, starring Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. It ran for 9 years and was the first scripted television program to be shot on 35 millimeter in film in front of a studio audience. So that was one of their brilliant things that they did. Why don't you take us out with I Love Lucy theme again, Jared, our wonderful producer. And Stephanie Bridges coming up next here at the 8 o'clock hour. She just walked in. It's truly happening. She's here in the flesh. We're going to take a break. We'll come back for the 8 o'clock edition of Free Fire Radio, KCNR. This is Linda Bott, along with Sue McClain, sitting in for Trish and Carl today. We'll be right back after these messages.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Democrats trying to delay a vote on Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett.
We should allow the winner of the election to pick this nominee, that we should make sure that we do this after the election.
While Republicans try to advance the nomination.
This committee moving forward is consistent with over 200 years of history and precedent.
Meanwhile, Judiciary Chairman Republican Lindsey Graham says he remains committed to voting on the nominee 1 week from today.
It will be 7 days from the time of the hearing to the vote. The last 50 years, 676 times, we've done exactly what we're intending to do today.
And today, the panel is slated to hear from outside witnesses, but has yet to do so as the partisan back and forth goes on. President Trump and Democratic challenger Joe Biden hold dueling town hall-style events tonight.
Instead of facing off in their second presidential debate, the two candidates will hold separate televised town halls. Biden's will air on ABC from Philadelphia, and the president's will air on NBC from Miami. Last week, Mr. Trump backed out of plans for the originally scheduled presidential debate after organizers shifted the format to a virtual event following the president's COVID-19 illness. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The number of Americans applying for unemployment hit a seven-week high last week, rising to 898,000, raising concerns that fresh coronavirus outbreaks may be taking a heavier toll on the employment picture in many states. Stocks are lower on Wall Street. The Dow down 223 points. The NASDAQ off 151. The S&P trading 33 points in the red. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. I'm still not famous, but you might remember that I started Harry's because I was tired of overpaying for razors. It always felt like big brands were taking advantage of us. Every time they improved something back then, prices seemed to go up. At Harry's, we take a different approach. Today, I'm proud to introduce our sharpest blades ever, available at the same price as before, as low as $2 each. They're a new, sharper version of our German-engineered blades. Guys who shave 4 days a week have told us that with our new blades, their eighth shave is as smooth as their first. And we stand by that, with a 100% money-back quality guarantee at Harry's.com. Millions have already made the switch to Harry's, and we hope you will too, with this special offer. Get a Harry's starter set featuring our new, sharper blade, a weighted razor handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to Harry's.com and enter 3388 at checkout. That's Harry's.com, code 3388.
Thai authorities placing Bangkok under a state of emergency a day after a protest against the country's establishment saw demonstrators heckle a royal motorcade. The BBC's Jonathan Head says it comes as a shock to the country.
The monarchy has always been held in this protected, almost a deified position where, you know, people are only allowed to talk about it in the most respectful terms. But it is a very powerful, wealthy and unaccountable monarchy, with the current king having exercised his powers very considerably more than his predecessor. And so these protest leaders were the ones voicing this demand for a different, more limited kind of monarchy. And they're the ones who are now being held somewhere outside of Bangkok. So it looks like a concerted effort by the authorities to stop this protest movement in its tracks.
Thai police say they've arrested more than 20 people for violating the state of emergency in the capital. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The Postal Service agrees to reverse service changes.
In a lawsuit filed by the state of Montana, the U.S. Postal Service has agreed to reverse changes that slowed mail service nationwide and to prioritize election mail. The settlement, which came on the eve of a hearing in U.S. District Court in Great Falls, Montana, applies to all states. The Postal Service will reverse all changes ordered by Postmaster General Louis DeJoy, including reduced retail hours, removal of collection boxes and mail sorting machines, and closure or consolidation of mail processing facilities. The reversal comes with Election Day less than 3 weeks away. I'm Mike Gracia.
Millions of people in northern England waiting to find out whether they'll be placed under the government's tightest COVID-19 restrictions. Local leaders meet with senior government officials about efforts to slow the spread of the coronavirus. Again on Wall Street, the Dow down 245 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
And good morning and welcome to our morning edition here on Free Fire Radio. This is... I was actually waiting for Carl to come in and bring the show. Anyway, so Linda Bott sitting in. Carl's on assignment and Trish is traveling in the world somewhere. So we, I've got Sue McLean and we're here this morning and so happy to be here. And we've got Stephanie Bridget, our district attorney with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great. We're going to get to you in just a minute, and we're going to cover a lot of good stuff. First of all, let's get the weather and an update. We are in a red flag warning. Today's going to be sunny and breezy with gusts of winds up to 32 miles per hour. But the winds, it's going to be breezy with 15 to 22 miles per hour today. Partly cloudy tonight with our overnight lows of 63. Friday calls for, tomorrow calls for about 94. And mostly clear skies with 62 in the night. Saturday, sunny with a high of 94, overnight lows of 58. And Sunday will be sunny with 87 and overnight lows of 56. And Sue, you do have a fire update. What's going on?
Now, we do have fires that continue to burn, including the August complex is at over 1 million acres, 1,029,605 acres. Good news, it's 76% contained. We have the Glass fire, 97% contained at 67,484 acres, 97% contained, which once again, very good news to report. The Zog fire, 100% contained. Now, the North Complex, 318,930 acres, it is 94% contained. So once again, there is good news to report. And we do have the Red Salmon Complex that has burned 142,370 acres, it is 62% contained. Now, today through tomorrow, there is a red flag warning. What does that mean? A high fire danger. You want to be careful. If you are mowing the lawn, you want to do it early in the morning or later on in the evening. If you have very dry grass, you don't want to be mowing in that. If you have car problems, you want to stay on the roadways. Don't veer off into dry grass. There have been quite a few fires started, once again, by vehicles that have pulled off the road or had an incident, a tire fall off, and it started these giant blazes. It could be deadly. So once again, be careful if you're out there. Red flag warning in effect, and that is through tomorrow.
Thanks, Sue. And we are going to start off with this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at SST Oil. Reminder, it's that time again to maintain your monitor heater, a Toyo heater or Toyo water heater. Call today to schedule an appointment, 241-1167. As we approach the winter months. It's a beautiful fall time right now, and what better time to have our before elections and everything that's going on to have our our district attorney, and that would be Bridget. How are you this morning?
I'm doing really well.
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah,
it's morning, Stephanie.
Yeah, Stephanie Bridget. What did I? Could I call you?
Either's fine.
I just went into
DA,
like
the woman in charge.
Yeah, the woman in charge. Thank you so much. We're all women here this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So the first question I have to ask you, Carl, asked me.
Carl left a question for you.
He said, "Make sure you ask her."
Okay.
Citizen's arrest. Yeah. Citizen's arrest. What does that mean? What's happening there?
Sure. Well, the paperwork is done through the sheriff's office or whatever agency someone is using based on the jurisdiction of where they allege that a crime has occurred. They have to sign that they believe that a crime has occurred, present their evidence, give that to the investigating agency. And then it's handled like any other case where the investigating agency would then, if they feel that there's a crime there as well, they're going to investigate that, interview witnesses, whatever they may do. If they ultimately conclude that there's not a crime, not enough evidence to support a crime, then they close the case. I mean, there's a, or if they feel like there's enough crime, enough evidence to support a crime, they can submit it to my office. And they do that in, you know, all investigations that they handle.
Again,
not everything that they handle comes to my office. They they close cases if they feel there's not enough evidence, which would be probable cause. So for a case to come to my office, investigating agency has to feel that the elements are all met and this person committed the crime, at least to that standard of probable cause. Then they submit it to my office, and my office would make a ultimate decision of whether we could then prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, which is even a higher standard. So that's kind of the path of any type of citizen arrest. It tracks the same path of really any type of investigation where someone has alleged that a crime is committed.
Well, we're talking about a gentleman who came into what wasn't the – it wasn't city council.
Board of Supervisors.
Board of Supervisors.
Right. All five.
Accusing them of the Brown Act.
Correct.
Okay.
Right. Richard Gallardo.
Correct.
Okay. So he, all five Shasta County supervisors and county attorney were placed under citizen's arrest during a board meeting. And that's why the question came up, citizen's arrest, because when I saw that video, I was floored. I was like, is this real? You know, am I being punked? Is this really happening?
Are they being punked?
Did you think the same thing? I was like, is this really happening? Did it surprise me? No.
No, not with today's climate.
No.
So that's what we had to ask you.
Yeah.
Well, right up. Is it on your desk?
A lot of people want to know that. What's the process?
Right.
No. Nothing has been submitted to my office.
Okay.
Yeah. Just curious, just because when I saw that, I went, is this real? You know, that's the first thing.
And you had some questions for our district attorney.
I did. I read about, well, because the Zog fire is now 100% contained.
Correct.
Now, your name came up. And are you investigating the Zog fire? Are you part of that? What's happening with that?
Yeah, so my investigators from my Bureau of Investigation are working with investigators from CAL FIRE to determine the ultimate cause of the fire and who is responsible. And once that investigation is complete, well, there were four individuals who died in that fire. So we'll carefully look at all the evidence, and if it appears there's enough that a crime occurred, we can look at charges up to and including homicide.
Wow. I was just curious, just because I read recently that, you know, it is being investigated.
Right.
CAL FIRE's looking into it as well. They did collect some materials from a very famous gas company we all know of. And now that it's an investigation, I know you can't really tell us any details, but I'm trying to squirm them out of you. I can't help
it. That's about all I can say.
Okay, but, you know, it is not, the Zog fire is not a laughing matter. And
correct.
Actually, today and through Monday, they have set up a place where you can go and get assistance. So if you were affected by the Zog fire, you can head on down to the Shasta District Fairgrounds and the Fasaro Hall, and they will have quite a few people on hand that can answer those questions for you.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to take an early break. When we come back, we are going to talk about some propositions, specifically Proposition 20. I know you have some information on that. So stay tuned with us here on the morning show, Free Fire Radio. We'll be right back on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. This is your talk radio.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Career politicians in Sacramento are holding fancy fundraisers with rich donors and are too busy to pay attention to us. We deserve housing we can afford, quality education, health care, and jobs that support our families. I'm Pamela Swartz, and I'm running for state senate. I grew up in Reading. I'm your neighbor, not a politician. Vote for me, Pamela Swartz,
and I'll work for jobs and investment in our district, and not for big money donors.
Paid for by Panama Sports News Station. ID number 142-3306.
Experience the one and only luxury Cadillac Escalade ESV.
Play our cash and Cadillac swipe to win promotion.
Swipe daily for free slot play and prizes.
Weekly drawings Thursdays at 7, 8, and 9 p.m.
Winners receive bonus entries into the final drawing.
Grand prize drawing Thursday, October 29th.
Win a one-of-a-kind 2020 Cadillac Escalade ESV.
A legend reimagined with an exceptional design made for your comfort.
Details at WinRiver.com.
You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020. Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, Mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
And welcome back to our morning show here on KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. This is your talk radio. And no, you're not listening to Carl right now. This is Linda Bott. Carl's on assignment. I'm here with Sue McClain. We're holding down the fort today.
Hello.
And we're very, very happy to have Stephanie Bridget with us, who is our district attorney. And good morning and welcome back to the show.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah. Okay, listen, we wanted to talk with you, and you brought this up as well. According to one of our articles here, several high-ranking officials and politicians showed up at Tuesday's Anderson City Council meeting to push for members to support Proposition 20 on the November ballot. And you're here to tell us what 20 represents.
Yeah, so Proposition 20, people should know that it's basically a proposition that is going to take certain parts of Prop 47 and Prop 57 and AB 109 and reverse some of those propositions and AB 109 to kind of hopefully get rid of some of the negative parts. I mean, it doesn't address everything that's caused a problem from Proposition 47, 57, and AB 109, but it definitely takes a first step in changing things back to where they need to be. For example, we all know from Proposition 57, which changed the people's eligibility for release from prison, and if it wasn't listed as a violent crime, you were able to get out early or have an opportunity to petition to get off early after serving just one full part of your sentence. So let's say you were convicted of multiple crimes and you have a base crime sentence that's 6 years. And then for each other crime, you're going to get extra years added on and enhancements. Well, Prop 57 said if it's not a violent crime after you finish that base crime time, you can try to get – out early. There was a mechanism where they could file a petition to our office and then we have to respond. And this whole process that's enabled a lot of people to get out much sooner than what their sentence called for. But the focus was on that, what's violent and what's not violent.
Exactly. Right. Is robbery violent?
Right. So when the list for violent, we heard a lot of people talking about a lot of crimes that weren't on that list. For example, domestic violence, human trafficking, dissuading a witness, assault with force likely to cause harm, elder abuse. There's a lot of different types of crimes that were not, that are not considered violent for the purposes
of an unconscious
rape
person,
of an unconscious person,
assault on a police officer.
Absolutely, there's a huge list.
What about assaulting a peace
officer?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what Proposition 20 does is it reverses that in that it adds those crimes onto the list of violent crimes for the purposes of Prop 57 release. So then people who are in there for domestic violence and those rape of an unconscious person, all those crimes that were talked about, they're not going to be able to avail themselves of the early release under Prop 57.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge thing in and of itself.
So what? How do we want to vote on 20?
Well, Proposition 20 is going to have a lot of positive changes if it passes.
So, but there's like, you know, sometimes when the proposition comes out and you vote yes or no,
right?
You think that you're voting a yes, but it really is a no.
Right.
Do you know how it's written?
Yeah. So a yes vote would add these crimes to the list of violent crimes.
Okay. Yes on 20.
And then,
all right.
And it does other things. For example, when Proposition 47 passed, that made a lot of crimes that were felonies become misdemeanors, right? So when a person is arrested, convicted, they go through the process as a felon, then there's going to be a DNA sample collected. It's going to go in the DNA database that's used. A lot of times you can solve old homicides and mm-hmm. cold cases based on someone being arrested for stealing a car, stuff that mm-hmm. Or, you know, going in a store and having a petty theft or whatever it may be, something way less than the cold case crime that's out there,
right.
Maybe serial rapist or whatever. But that depends on having those DNA samples in the database. Well, when Prop 47 changed a whole slew of crimes from felonies to misdemeanors, well, now all those crimes, DNA samples were not being taken from anymore. So Proposition 20 is going to say, no, here's a whole list of crimes that are now the misdemeanor level you are going to be able to get the DNA sample from. For example, if we file misdemeanor domestic violence, they're going to be able to get the sample, or elder abuse, or shoplifting, forgery, a lot of those crimes that are still at the misdemeanor level, we'll be able to get that DNA sample, which has proven very useful in solving a lot of crimes.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Michael, do you have a question or a comment for our district attorney?
Yeah, I do. Does she plan on pressing charges against the Board of Supervisors for violations of the Brown Act due to the citizen's arrest that happened about a week ago?
Well, thank you for your question.
So no case has been submitted to my office, and that's the way the process would work, is it's investigated by one of our local agencies. In this case, it's the Shasta County Sheriff's Office. If they choose to submit that to my office after going through their regular process that they handle any other case, believing that there is enough to submit it to my office, we'll make that decision. I would not prejudge any case, no matter what the case is, by making a decision right now, and I certainly won't do it here.
Okay, wonderful. All right, so we're going to talk about some other propositions and some other things that are happening. I know that we covered 20 now. We covered the citizen's arrest, that nothing has been submitted to your office, and you can't do anything until it's submitted to you in paper and you can study it and then make a decision, correct?
Correct. That's the way any crime works.
Exactly, okay.
Any alleged crime.
Right. And then we, Sue posed a question, so I'm just kind of doing a recapping of what we discussed this morning, the Zog Fire.
Correct.
And that you're looking into arsonist situations, right?
Well, we're working with Cal Fire in that investigation to determine if any crime has occurred.
Thank you. Okay, so now let's go into some other propositions and some other situations that you wanted to discuss with our audience this morning.
What about proposition, was it 25, about the bail?
Oh, yeah. Is that the number? I didn't bring that
yeah.
list with
okay.
me. But
Proposition 25, ending cash bail in California.
Yeah, it would be an interesting situation if that occurred because, you know, cash bail's been used for a long time, and it's not based on, you know, the individual's socioeconomic status or any of those outside factors. It's based just on the crime. You commit X crime, your bail is set on what it's going to be. And that's enabled us to, you know, the more serious the crime, the higher the bail, the more likely you can keep the person in custody. So if we're going to do away with that cash bail system, it's going to be interesting to see what it really looks like on the other side, because that's not completely clear from the proposition of how mm-hmm. we're going to be able to hold people in custody. Presumably, it's going to be very, very difficult to keep people in custody just to show up for their first court appearance.
Well, right.
Especially,
we're already having problems right now to
right.
get people to show.
Especially for the lower level offenses that there's likely not going to be any finding of, that the person should be held to arraignment because there should be that mechanism in there. Those people, I could see a situation where a person is breaking into our businesses day after day, committing misdemeanor type level offenses, and never being brought to court just because there's not a way to get there until maybe they've done it 20, 30, 40 times. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how it's going to play out, but we saw a little bit of that when this pandemic, COVID, began back in March and April and May when the governor issued a no bail situation, and it was horrible. We had a lot of people who were being released, people that couldn't be held in custody that needed to be, situations like we saw recently where an individual was released from custody and then went out and shot somebody.
Right,
and,
right.
I've read articles in other states that where they've gone to a no cash bail system like it's being proposed in California, and they've got repeat criminals who have been arrested, 50 to 100 times, and they're telling the officers, oh, well, see you later. Never going to get me to court.
And they know it.
And they know
and
it.
And that just
so,
makes me
yeah. There was
angry,
a situation
you know?
Yesterday that happened where I was at a storefront, and it hit the news. There was a guy who stole a car, got out of the car on a chase, ran across Dana Drive, was hit by a car. And then the storefront that I was in, they thought that the woman that was in the car had a gun. So there were 10 cop cars. And the first thing was, he's going to get booked, and he's going to get out because, according to our chief of police, who was on last Monday, we have 180-some hardened criminals in our county court that are waiting to go to federal prison and can't because of COVID.
Yeah, so we've got right now 180, whatever it was on Monday. That number goes mm-hmm. up every day, because every day people are being sentenced to our state prisons and they can't be transferred. They're just not taking them. I hear they are starting to take them in a limited capacity from some of the bigger counties. I think they should be taking them from the smaller counties mm-hmm. that have small jails and can't, we're all getting full. If this continues for any length of time, our jail's just going to be a state prison. There's not going to be any room.
All right, let's go to the phones. Mary, good morning. Welcome to the morning show. What's on your mind? Do you have a question for our district attorney?
Yes, I do. Thank you. I'm enjoying your show. Thank you very much. She has a thankless job. I tell you, it's one of those things you get so frustrated because she's trying to take the bat off the street. She can't. I mean, what you said, you take them in, you can't hold them. But here's my question. I'm retired, and years ago, if anything went wrong, we called the district attorney. But is that true now? I mean, if you get the scam calls or if you get a neighbor that's, something's going on besides the sheriff. I'm not talking violence. But is there such a thing as you do call the district attorney? I mean, for things that are... you know, like social security scams or something like that?
Yeah, that's a really great question. We do have certain areas that we do take initial reports on, and what you are saying, it would be classic examples. If there's some type of Social Security fraud or any type of scam that's trying to hit our community, anyone in our community, we have a consumer protection unit that deals exactly with that. Any type of scams or fraud that's being perpetrated on our community members, these are the people who are targeting more than one person. We've got...
Yeah, I was trying to somehow relieve your office of worthless calls, you know, because I didn't know from the past. We just called the district attorney, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But you do have that, and then you can route them to the correct... You can route them off to the correct office if you had to.
Yeah, we can take any call and route it if we need to, but for these types of consumer protection stuff, we do have an in-house investigator that can do that. We have an in-house...
Okay, good.
Yeah, we have an in-house investigator that can do welfare fraud, that can do auto fraud, a few things.
Stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, you don't know who calls, so... Anytime anybody tells me anything, I say, call the district attorney. And I thought, well, maybe I'm telling people wrong, you know.
Yeah.
Well, okay, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mary. And on that note, we do have to take a break. If you have calls in the future, I mean, please call in this morning, 605-4567. While we have Stephanie Bridget here, who is our district attorney, and just right in the middle of things, and that's a great – we love having her on. And this is Linda Bott, along with Sue McClain. Stay tuned with us here on KCNR. We'll be right back.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride. With sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade.
Vote safe, vote early. In Shasta County, all active registered voters will receive a ballot in the mail. Voters in Shasta County have multiple safe ways to cast a ballot by Election Day on November 3rd. How to return your ballot is your choice. Starting October 5th, you can vote early in person, by mail, or by Dropbox. Remember, it is your vote, your choice. For more information, call the Elections Department at 225-5730 or go to ShastaVotes.org for safe voting options.
Hello, I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and I'm running for Supervisor District 4. From 2006 to 2014, I served on the Reading City Council, and most of those years I also sat on the Indian Gaming Local Community Benefit Committee. Through the Reading Rancheria, we donated millions of dollars to the City of Reading, Shasta County, and many special districts. This much-needed money was allocated for things like the Reading Fire Department's ladder truck, and positions in the Sheriff's Office, and positions in the DA's Office. I'm Patrick Henry Jones, and this is why I support the tribe. Paid for by the committee to elect Patrick Henry Jones, Supervisor District 4.
Medicare open enrollment is October 15th through December 7th. Help keep your drug costs low by reviewing your plan for the following year. Remember, Medicare plans can change each year. PSA 2 Health Insurance Counseling Advocacy Program HICAP services are free and include individual counseling and assistance, as well as community education services. PSA 2 HICAP services does not sell, endorse, or recommend any specific insurance product. PSA 2 HICAP is your trusted source for Medicare information. Call PSA 2 HICAP services for more information, 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222. That's 530-223-0999 or 1-800-434-0222.
This project was supported in part by grant number 90S APG 009-40100 from the U.S. Administration for Community Living, Department of Health and Human Services, Washington, D.C., 20201. Grantees undertaking projects under government sponsorship are encouraged to express freely their findings and conclusions. Points of view or opinions do not, therefore, necessarily represent official Administration for Community Living policy.
They're at it again. Yet another attempt to add more government bureaucracy to healthcare. This time it's Proposition 23. 23 is funded by one labor union that's pushing their own political agenda. In doing so, this labor union is risking the lives of 80,000 dialysis patients. 23 is dangerous for patients, and 23 is costly for taxpayers. 23's bureaucratic requirements would increase healthcare costs by hundreds of millions of dollars every year. 23 will mean higher insurance premiums and higher taxes for everyone. That's Prop 23, the dangerous and costly dialysis proposition.
Join the California Medical Association and the American Nurses Association California in voting no on 23.
At Paid For By No on 23, stop the dangerous and costly dialysis proposition. A coalition of dialysis providers, nurses, doctors, and patients. Committee major funding from DaVita and Fresenius Medical Care.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Welcome back to our morning show. I don't know if you heard that, but we were talking about homeschooling. And welcome to our morning show. This is Linda Bott. Hey, Sue McClain is here.
Good morning.
Thank you. You're sitting in for Trish. I'm sitting in for Carl.
Yes.
And we're here with the star of the show, our district attorney, Stephanie Bridget.
Who's in the hot seat.
Who's in the hot
morning.
Seat. Yeah. And so at
like
break.
Literally with the light shining right on me.
Thank
remember?
You. Thank
like
you.
The surface of the sun.
Thank you were tall enough that you could move before us, but because it was like, you're right. You're like, I feel like I'm sitting there.
I'm being investigated.
It's a torture. I'm being tortured. Okay, yeah. So at the break we were discussing, which I think is great. Do you mind if I share?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I said, what's it like for you? Because we know with Amy
right.
that they're trying to get into, you know, being nominated and all that. They're talking about, you know, and I think about women who are in positions of really in the workforce and have so much to work. They really and have a big family. They need to have somebody that helps balance that out at home. So you have a wonderful husband that does this, taking care of the kids and doing some great things. But what you talked about is that last year they wanted to be homeschooled, and you said, no, go to school. So then they finally are getting homeschooled, and they're loving it.
They're loving it, yeah. They really are. You know, I have the four kids across the three different grades, and my husband's with them homeschooling, and it's really worked out well for us.
He's loving it. They're loving it.
Yep.
That is so great. Okay, yeah. So Sue, you had a question. We have two callers. That's great. Great.
Sure.
You have a question, too, that's really important.
I did. I wanted to know how COVID is affecting the way your job is being done and performed.
It's definitely had a big impact. So beginning when the courts had to shut down, when everything started, basically all the cases kind of got pushed on pause. So anything that would have supposed to have gone to trial, to court, anything during that time period for quite a while, just wasn't handled. At a certain point, we did start handling some of the calendars and slowly more and more of the calendars, but jury trials took a while before they started up again. So they don't go away, and crime doesn't go away. So really what it did is it just stacked a bunch of trials on top of other trials. So now that we're doing trials, there's a lot more stacked up waiting to go. And we're in a situation where a jury trial that would have taken maybe 5 court days before COVID is now going to take 15 court days.
Wow.
Because this process of selecting a jury is so slow, because we can only bring in some courtrooms 15 jurors at a time to question them, where before COVID we'd fill the courtroom. We'd have 50, 60 jurors in there asking questions. They would all hear everything. It would be a very quick process. So the process is extremely slow. So it just as each week, each month goes by, it just really continues to back up the system more. And you know, it impacts both sides. You know, that we've got people in custody charged with crimes who have rights to speedy trials. We've got victims who have the right to have their cases heard and be there as well. So there's been a huge impact just locally with our trials and our court system.
Well, since we're moving into possibly the next tier, mm-hmm. now, does that mean all those cases are going to be put off even further?
Well, as of right now, we're going to continue as we are. But there, a lot has been put in place to make sure that jurors sit 6 feet apart. They're wearing masks. We've got you know, some the plexiglass around the witness stand. You know, there's a lot put in place. So unless there's changes from our local health officer that impact what the courts do, mm-hmm. we're going to continue as we're going at this slow pace. But that's really up in the air whether that will change. And I'm sure it's going to impact whether, you know, where different breakouts are. We have a big breakout in the courts or the jail or something, and that's going to really mess up what's going on for right. sure.
Well, let's go to the phones. And that was a great question, Sue, because that just goes to show you how everything is affected with COVID. Let's go to Becky. Becky, good morning. Do you have a question for our DA or a comment?
Hi. I was curious about citizen's arrest. I was wondering, when is it appropriate to perform a citizen's arrest? In what form?
Sure. So basically, if there's a citizen who believes that a crime has been committed, and typically we're talking about a misdemeanor crime, that they're going to request the local law enforcement, depending on what jurisdiction it is. So if it's in Reading Police Department, or in the Anderson, it would be Anderson Police. And there's paperwork. They're going to have to fill out that paperwork, and that is attesting that they believe that the facts that they are presenting are true. They're going to provide their evidence, and then at that point, that agency is going to do the investigation. So it's something that is available to people to do.
But do you go through the sheriff first to file the paperwork? Because, you know, once you file paperwork, then you have to go and serve the papers to the people that are being accused, correct?
No, that's not. You just do the paperwork with the agency that you are, that the crime allegedly occurred in.
Okay.
And then it would it'd be incumbent on that agency to then handle it as any other case that they get. Because this can happen when a person is calls a local agency saying, you know, something was just stolen. This is a crime they're alleging didn't happen. Happened in the presence of law enforcement. They show up, and those individuals are going to end up filing that report. So it's very similar to that same process of an individual saying a crime occurred and asking the agency to investigate it. And the agency's going to look at it, look at what evidence you give to them, do their own investigation, close the case if they feel like there's not sufficient evidence, or if they believe there's sufficient evidence, they're going to present it to my office for an ultimate decision.
Okay. And does that have a time frame? Is there a time frame for a citizen's arrest once it hits your desk or before?
The only time frame constriction that we're under is what's called a statute of limitations, and every crime is going to have a statute of limitations. Misdemeanors, 1 year. So from 1 year from the date that you allege that the crime occurred, if it's not filed by 1 year later, then it's barred and cannot be filed. And on the far extreme would be homicide has no statute of limitations. So it could have happened 30 years ago, and we just get enough evidence to prosecute, we can go ahead and charge that. And then it runs the full gambit in between looking at different crimes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So next caller, Richard, do you have a question for our DA or a comment?
Hello, it's Richard. Can you hear me?
Yes, hi, Richard. We can hear you.
Hello. My comments are limited. I am the one that did a citizen's arrest. The deputy has asked me to call him back, so hopefully by next week all the paperwork will be filed with the sheriff's department. So that's the timeline on that. After that, then the DA will get it. This is a political hot potato. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of legal issues here, but once it gets to the DA's office, actually the sheriff's office, there's a lot of politics involved. I personally demanded the recusal of the sheriff because he attended some of the meetings and questions. There are many other charges also, and my arrest affidavit, I will call it, it's out on the internet for people to read. I have nothing to hide. I'm also demanding the recusal of the DA, and she'll see that in the paperwork because she also attended the same meeting. This is to protect her and her license and to protect the integrity of the investigation. So one of her deputies will be getting this And so that's kind of where it's at right now. I hear a nervous laughter from people when they hear that a citizen arrested a public official. And I think that really comes out of ignorance. And ignorance is not a bad word. That just means you don't have the knowledge. And the citizen arrest procedure is a very serious procedure, not to be taken lightly. And before anybody attempts such a thing, you need to get advice, preferably from lawyers. Or like me, I did that a little, but I'm retired military police in California. I have intimate knowledge of the state penal codes and all the codes because I also enforce them. So I have a good basis of knowledge to perform a citizen's arrest. So anyways, that's where it's at right now. And unless somebody has a question, I'll go ahead and hang up.
All right. We really appreciate your call, Richard. Does anybody have any comments or questions? See where how this unfolds, but we really appreciate you calling in and kind of clarifying that. And I think it's really important. This is, this is why we fight for our freedoms. In America, and so you're able to do this kind of thing. Appreciate you calling in, Richard. All right, so interesting. There's no little laugh coming from me.
No, but we were talking about it earlier, just because when I first watched the video, literally it seemed to me unbelievable.
Right.
I really thought it was something that somebody had just posted.
Right.
Just I for whatever reason, it didn't strike me as, okay, this is really happening.
Well, it's not something you really see.
You don't see.
Rarely.
I've never seen
ever.
That before.
Oh, yeah.
And
so.
All the time I've been doing broadcasting for 30 years, I've never seen that, to have someone go to our officials and say, okay, here's what happened. Why are you doing it? Because, violation of the Brown Act or something that, mm-hmm. that he had brought up. Right. And, you know, to bring that up, that's one thing. We can talk about it on the air. But the issue comes down to what's going to happen from here between the person that filed and the district attorney's office. And so we put the information out there. Now, whether or not we weren't making fun of it, we just thought it was unbelievable.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
So this wasn't like a personal attack.
No.
This was like,
no.
Okay, is that this really happened? And I think he comes from a place just like quite a few people. It's like, we need change. We need something to happen. This area needs a wake-up call. What's it going to take? I don't know if that's his train of thought. But I think, you know, just coming, having the district attorney who's already, you know, burdened at this point with so much backlog, you know, of what's going on and the court proceedings and things like this. This just adds to that.
Right. And she, like, again, the case has not come before her yet.
Right.
So, anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got several callers. Exciting morning. Carl's not here. This is Linda sitting in for Carl and Sue McClain sitting in for Trish. But we are here live on the air with our district attorney, Stephanie Bridget, and we'll be right back after these messages on KTNR 96.5 FM 1460 AM.
Paid for by Adam McElvain for Reading City Council 2020. Hi, I'm Adam McElvain, Mayor of Reading, and I'm running for re-election to the Reading City Council. I am a father, husband, veteran, business owner, Simpson graduate, and our current mayor. I started attending council meetings in 2006 and served as a city commissioner for over 7 years before winning a seat on the council in 2016. I have kept all the promises I made to you 4 years ago and want to continue that good work. Our police department is stronger, faster, and more well-trained. Total crimes have dropped every year, and response times to emergency calls have dropped significantly. Our fire department is the biggest it's been in our city's history, and we are far better prepared to fight wildfires. Also, due to the help of streamlined policies and reduced fees, our city is experiencing investment not seen in a generation. I would be honored to serve you for 4 more years and ask for your vote on November 3rd for Reading City Council.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back
to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
I am Steve Morgan, and I'm running for re-election to the Board of Supervisors to represent the citizens of District 4 and Shasta County. My record of trust, integrity, commitment, and proven leadership is a foundation of my service. With my leadership, we have maintained a balanced budget. I will continue to work hard and advocate for Shasta County taxpayers, businesses, and public safety. I am committed to expanding economic prosperity to create and keep jobs. I believe law enforcement agencies and first responders are paramount for our county. As a Vietnam veteran, I am committed to supporting our military and veterans. My conservative approach to budgeting, support for industry and business, and commitment to a safe and healthy community earned me endorsements from the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce, District Attorney Stephanie Bridget, Reading Firefighters, Sheriff Eric Magrini, former Sheriff Tom Basinko, and Sheriff Pope, Operating Engineers Local 3, Sierra Pacific Industries, and many local leaders and business owners. I'd be honored to receive your vote. Paid for by the committee to re-elect Steve Morgan for Supervisor 2020.
Are you tired of corporate bought Sacramento politicians who don't have any idea what we need in the North State? So am I. That's why I'm running to be our state senator. My name is Pamela Swartz, and I'm your neighbor, not a politician. We've got wildfires burning down our towns and internet connections that don't exist or barely work, and we're stuck with self-serving career politicians. This has to stop. Vote for me. Pamela Swartz for State Senate.
Paid for by Pamela Swartz for State Senate. ID number 142-306.
Good morning and welcome back. Boy, we just have a few minutes here left with our district attorney, and I know that she wanted to cover some items, so we're going to go there before we take our last-minute callers. Welcome back to the show with Linda Bott and Sue McClain. We're sitting in for Trish and Carl, and we have Stephanie Bridget, our district attorney. You have piles of things that you wanted to cover. We kind of got, we took calls and we got less than that. So I do know that we are going to try to get to these callers at the very end of our program, if you can hold on.
And here's a note, though. If you ask a question about an active case, she cannot respond. So if you've got questions, I'm seeing a lot of questions in the chat room. You know, if it's an active case, she's not going to respond on the air. That's just how it is. Okay? Because she can't talk about it. Anyway, back to you, Linda.
Okay. No, let's go back to Stephanie.
Yeah, so
Stephanie, you had some things you needed to cover this morning or wanted to cover. So let's respect your time for coming in this morning. Items that you wanted to cover.
So a couple of things that I just wanted to make sure that our community is aware of is that, you know, all the recent legislation that was signed by the governor is now into law, and there's some changes. There's definitely changes that are going to occur. We've seen this every year probably for the last 9 to 10 years that there's been significant changes that are impacting the criminal justice system. So I want to go through a few of those. There was actually a whole slew of them, but some of the ones that I think are particularly interesting to our public is, so we have AB 1950 that was signed, and what that's going to do is going to be any misdemeanor offense that a person is convicted of, they cannot be, they can't be put on probation for longer than 1 year. And felony offense probation will be 2 years. There are some exceptions in there based on a few crimes, but as a general rule, probation for misdemeanors is going to be 1 year. Typically, it's always been 3 years. It's been 3 years since I became an attorney. And felonies have been 3 years or 5 years, depending on the crimes. And we're cutting that back down to 2 years. And that really cuts both ways because we've got, part of their probationary terms are always not to commit new crimes, and having some type of oversight of them to make sure that they go, you know, they attend their AA meetings or their NA meetings or their parenting classes or whatever it may be, that they have a sufficient amount of time to go through those programs with oversight to make sure that there is some type of remedy if they don't do what they're told based on the crime that they occurred. And certainly in felony cases, we have a probation department that is helping them through that process, that is overseeing them. So we're cutting that time back, which is going to have even a more of an impact where people are like, well, I don't care. The crime's just a misdemeanor. And if I get convicted, I'll be on probation for a year. So I don't care. So it's going to be another thing that's just going to incentivize crimes to a certain extent in our community. So that was signed. That's going to go into effect just a couple months from now, January 1st, 2021.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So we have the elder parole. So if a person is in... gets convicted of a crime, multiple crimes. Let's say they got a, 50-year sentence mm-hmm. because they, did some elder abuse or child molestation or any of these more serious crimes, like serious crimes, because those are the people that are going to get these 40, 50, 60-year sentences, or someone who's broke into multiple houses and then used a gun, and some pretty serious people are the people who get those more lengthy sentences. Well, there's always been something, not always, but in the last few years, elder parole has come about, but we always had the threshold of 65 and older. That's now dropped to 50. So you are considered an elder at 50, and as long as you have served 20 years of your sentence, you're now eligible for parole, even if you had a 70-year sentence. That just changed. Our law enforcement, when they're designing their uniforms, they're no longer going to be allowed to use anything, camouflage prints or anything like that, that could resemble military uniforms. That has now been outlawed in California.
And we wonder why. I mean, these are new laws.
These are just new ones, yeah.
Brand new laws. We think it's really important to hear these laws that are being passed down, so we appreciate you being here. What else do you have? The wonderful news that just makes one, you wonder why people are moving out of, I mean, it's just,
sure.
You know.
Sure. So as a couple years back, we had a...
Fill in the blanks.
Yeah. the law changed so that if a person, a youth, a minor, who is 15 years old or younger, is alleged to have committed a crime, our law enforcement is unable to interview that child without them first having an attorney present for the conversation. So that can be an issue. We have a lot of...
So what do? You can't even take... Say, hypothetically...
Well, that's changed now. It changed to 17 and under. That was just signed.
So you have a teenager,
a murderer,
commit a crime,
a murderer.
Can they
Absolutely.
Even put them in the back of the patrol car while they wait for an attorney?
Yeah, I mean, they can have them there, arrested in custody waiting for the attorney. But if they're 17 and younger, then they have the right to have that attorney present. And when it was 15 and under, that's bad enough. We have a lot of people at that kids at that age, unfortunately, who murder both of their parents or go do a mass shooting at a school or mm-hmm. whatever it may be. Well, there's some very, very serious crimes.
Okay, we have callers on the line, so okay. Let's get right to it. Jim, good morning. You've been waiting for a long time. What's on your mind?
Yeah, calling to talk to Stephanie.
Yes, please.
Question. Okay, the. Question is, if you go out and you steal $900 from Walmart and they just let you walk out the door and leave, if a guy did that 300 days out of the year, went to different Walmarts around the country, he could wind up with $270,000 worth of stuff here and not have to pay any taxes on it or do anything for it.
Don't give anybody ideas, Jim.
You're right. That would be a misdemeanor each time. However, that is another area that Proposition 20 would change. So it puts in there serial theft. If there's a person who is a serial thief who is going into that Walmart every day, well, on their third time, there's going to be the ability to file that as a felony. So that's another a benefit if Proposition 20 were to pass. But yes, you are correct in what you just pointed out.
We got a Terry. Terry's been holding too. Terry, do you have a question for the DA?
I have something that I think is important because she has a tough job. But I think the deal is that the climate now of elected officials basically not being held accountable is probably what's happening. We know about Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, et cetera. And I think that some of the things when Richard called in, I know he talked about a nervous laugh. Well, that was Jake Mangus on this program a couple of days ago when they talked about the citizen's arrest, and Jake smirked. And then they were talking to Mary Rickard at the time, Jake and your husband, and the comment really was, you know, gee whiz, you know, what's this all about? Everybody was kind of laughing about it. And, of course, Jake said that people were yelling at the Board of Supervisors. Well, I just want to say this one quick thing. That is that those people were standing outside in 100 degrees with their kids in the smoke. Some of them aren't working anymore because of what's happened with COVID. And, of course, we know that is the control and the jurisdiction of the Board of Supervisors, not completely the state. The other thing is that they're in a position to where the supervisors have air conditioning, they're being paid, they're getting their benefits, and they're sitting inside. Maybe the Board of Supervisors should have come outside with the people. That may have been a thing to do, rather than shutting the doors and keeping them out to where the